Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. This is the Inspired Leadership Podcast. My name is Deborah Brown, and my beautiful co-host, Dawn Earhart-Witte, is with me also on the line. Say hello, Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
I always love to wait for you to say hello. You're just so sweet. Oh, we are so lucky today. We have one of your sweet friends, and I have just met her, and I am in love with her as well. Her name is Clementine Bahiga. She was only 8 years old when her family escaped from war-torn Rwanda. As her mother and youngest siblings piled into a car, she and her brothers had to walk beside the packed vehicle while bombs exploded beside them and bullets shot past their heads. She spent the next 5 years in refugee camps and settlements. Clementine had to grow up quickly and become an adult-like 8-year-old. It is no surprise that at the age of 33, she has accomplished more than many at her age. In 1999, she and her family were admitted to the United States, where Clementine faced challenges of a different sort. Because of her past, many saw her as different, and she was bullied in high school. Where others would have quit and been scared away, she instead used it as motivation. While in college, she started Africa Club and held positions in several leadership organizations. She interned at the New York State Attorney General's office, began her speaking journey, and was able to travel the nation, including doing work with the United Nations as an agent of change. Later in life, Clementine once again encountered tragedy when she lost her daughter. Turning pain into purpose, she founded the Claret Refugee Fund, which provides education to youth refugees. She has always used her past experiences as motivation and inspiration to keep her going through difficult times. Although she has lived through horrific events, she is resilient, charming, and she features an addicting personality. Welcome to the show, Clementine.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I am very honored and glad to be here.
Clementine, I have to say, you know, I don't know if people can relate to this, but, you know, every so often you meet somebody and you just feel like you've known them your entire life, like from the very moment you're strangers, but then you're never strangers. And I had the wonderful opportunity of getting to know you through a mutual friend who is no longer with us. And, you know, from the very moment we started talking, I just felt like I had known you forever. And that was, 3 years ago? So you inspire me all the time. You make me laugh. You are always there for me to uplift me. And I just feel like together there's nothing we can't accomplish. So I'm just so grateful that you're on our show. And I'm so grateful to have you in my life and have you as an inspiration.
Oh, Dawn, those were great, great words to speak about me. I thank you so much. And right back at you, you know, it's been great having you in my life, and you are so true. When we spoke the first time, I felt like, this girl, I've known her in another life. I just don't know where. And, you know, we worked on events together, and they were very life-giving, and you are such a great soul, and always exaggerate when you speak of me, but you know what? I'll take it. Thank you.
Not true. You are a rarity, and a dynamo is like a word that I would use to describe you.
Oh, that's very sweet.
You know, Deborah, I don't know if you wanted to start this, but when you were, I'm going to just jump in because I'm being bossy today. I've known Clementine for years now, and, you know, I forget like all the different pieces of her bio, but I feel like it is such perfect timing. You were supposed to be on the show, 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago? And, you know, because of our scheduling conflicts and stuff, we moved it to June 3rd. And I just think that this is such a perfect time for you to be on the show after what you went through when you were a child. And I think that's where we connected, you know, that Rwanda connection and everything happening there. And then seeing what's happening in our universe, in our world right now, I feel like it's divine timing.
Right. And, you know, nothing happens by mistake. this is exactly the day I was supposed to be on your show, and it happened. And you know, something that I've been thinking about, you know, just the past couple of days with everything that's been going on, I was asking myself, should I pack up and run again? Like, how many times am I going to be a refugee? You know, you just kind of sit and wonder, are we just going to keep running forever? And where should we go now? You know, because a lot of us, especially African, you know, we are told America is the land of dreams, the land of opportunity. You work hard and you obtain that American dream, which whatever that is. And so you come and then you just see all these things that are going on and you're like, huh, now where is the land of dreams now? You know?
Right.
Well, after
it's a very interesting time.
After having gone through what you have went through your entire life, you know, you keep getting up and you still never see yourself as a victim of anything. And that is one of the things I admire so greatly about you, is that you do not settle for defeat. You just get up, you brush yourself off, and you do it a different way. But you keep going, and you keep going with a bright light and a spirit of helping others and lifting others along the way. And that is one of the reasons I admire you so much. And that's leadership.
Well, yeah. So I just kind of have to put things in perspective. Every day I wake up and, you know, when you think about it, there's always someone somewhere that's worse off, really. And I'm not saying that, you know, I've had a perfect life and things are always sunny outside. No, but there's always someone out there that would rather be you on your worst day. And I have to get up every day and keep moving because I have children that I'm raising and I need them to know that they are fortunate to be alive. There are so many kids that are praying to be in their position, but they're not. So why do I have to get up every day and be positive and push through? It's because I have another day that I probably don't deserve. And this day, I'm going to make it the best day, be positive, uplift people, you know, be good to whoever I face, and then just keep moving. And to be honest with you, and this is something I've shared with some folks, is like every day when I wake up, I am very excited. And in my mind, I should be thinking something great is going to happen today. It's something that's so ingrained in me that it's like waking up and going to brush your teeth. The first thing that comes to my mind is like, today is a day something great is going to happen. And for some reason, if I don't have a great day that day, I go to sleep and I'm like, well, there's always tomorrow. And then that's just my daily routine. And tomorrow comes and it's the same thing. It's nothing, you know, if it's another day that's not so exciting, well, there's always tomorrow. Let's keep pushing.
Is that something that you've always had? Or is that something you've learned? Or how did you come to being able to see the world that way?
I think that, you know, that's a tough question because I don't really know that there's a day where I just started thinking this way. But I can tell you that the minute I was given, I was valued and given stage presence to share my story and felt like I was inspiring others, that's when I started thinking more positively. Because remember, when I was in high school, I was being bullied. I had very little friends at school. I was devalued. I was the outsider. I was the African with the kinky hair, with the crazy accent, and who eats the crazy food. That was me. And then I went to college. Right. And then I went to college and was given a voice. I was valued. And all of a sudden, I started feeling like, wow, you know, I am different, but that's an awesome thing because I am able to offer a different perspective on different things. So when I was given that opportunity to shine and show my uniqueness and use kind of that disadvantage to an advantage, I just started being a more positive person. So I would say college. That's when I really started, you know, being positive. But as far as waking up every day and being super excited, I don't remember when that started. But I can tell you, and this is funny, when I wake up in the morning on a Monday, that's when I'm mostly excited because it's a brand new week with brand new possibilities. So when I'm texting some of my friends, like, hey, happy Monday, they're like, what is wrong with you? It's Monday. Like, we have a whole week of work. Like, why do you sound so excited? And I'm like, it's a brand new week. We can correct whatever we did wrong last week. Let's be excited about this.
Oh, that is so good.
I know
that
when people
so
talk about having the kisses of the Mondays, in me, I'm just like, yo, I am living it up right now. It's Monday, and this week is going to be awesome.
I love that.
Clementine, I know you have a wonderful book called Happily Broken, Discovering Happiness Through Pain and Suffering. And in either that or some of the other writing that I've read of yours, you say that you can take brokenness and turn it into something radiant. And I just want to say that your voice is radiant right now. And everything you've said on this show has been a radiance, has had a radiance about it that is very obvious to me. And it is infectious.
Thank you, Deborah.
It is infectious.
Thank you.
And you're welcome.
Tell that to my kids. They keep telling me to be quiet.
Right, exactly. And another thing you say is that you have been able to turn your why me into why not me. And I'm thinking about the leadership message in that. And I'm also thinking about the protesters who are in the streets right now in so many parts of our country. And they're also in the streets protesting the exact same things that are being protested in America. They're protesting in London, for goodness sakes, and elsewhere around the world, which is pretty shocking.
All over the world,
Yes, and I'm just thinking that their voices, you know, are in their feet right now, but, you know, their voices are being heard, and I believe that is a leadership that they are exercising. Does that make sense to you, that they are being leaders right now just by getting out into the streets to make this point in this day and time?
Of course. I mean, it takes courage to go out there and spend hours out there fighting for your rights and fighting for humanity, because this is really a human issue, you know, treating your neighbor, regardless of their color, their skin color, their origin, treating them as a human. Like, let's go back to the basics. Let's even forget color, but this person is another human being just like you. Treat them just as a human. And yeah, it takes a lot of courage. There are many different ways people can show leadership, and yes, going out to protest is definitely one of them. There are some people who would rather take a different approach, but also are showing leadership, and you know, their voices are being heard in different ways. But I can say that even with all of this, I can see the beauty of being in America, because there are a lot of places, especially, you know, in some third world countries that have dictators as presidents and leaders, they're not able to go out and protest like this, they would be getting killed, literally.
Right.
And no one is going to ask a question about why you just don't do this. So, you know, the United States has really given an opportunity or a voice in a way for people to come up and be leaders and, you know, help change societal norms that are not just. And it's a beautiful thing.
You know,
it
talking
is.
About
and
inspired leadership, one of my friends, Stephanie Chick, this beautiful, wonderful woman, she's a life coach and does all kinds of work with love, you know, putting more love into the world, loving ourselves. But she talked to me the other day about Ubuntu. And I learned that word
right.
the first time when I was in Rwanda. And
mm-hmm.
I that notion of I am because we are, you know, that unifying notion of, you know, we are here for each other. You know, I feel like that is like the most kind of inspired leadership and, you know, getting out there and having your voice heard, but not forgetting that principle.
Exactly. And actually, it's very interesting because in my language, Ubuntu, it actually means two different things. Ubuntu means, you know, being human, right? And it also means being free, something that's free. It's called Ubuntu. So in my mind, the way I interpret that word of, you know, humanity is like when you are a human, you should be free of all these things that are going on, of hate, of, you know, of hunger or of, you know, any kind of oppression. And as fellow human beings, when we see another human, another Ubuntu, who is not living freely, then we should be stepping in one way or another to make sure that they are free. So
absolutely.
Any work that I do is making sure that I play some type of role in freeing people, in freeing souls, so that they can enjoy that Ubuntu.
That's beautiful, Clementine.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Question about when you did the work with the United Nations as an agent of change, what does that mean? What was that about? That sounds intriguing.
Well, so I was in college at that time, and there was a selection process to select a few students from different colleges all over the world to go to the United Nations and review the Millennium Goals, the MDG goals, and, you know, some of them were to eradicate poverty by the year of 2020, and which is this year. And obviously that hasn't happened yet, but I was there for about 2 weeks, and we were just part of the Security Council there and attending different meetings to see how the world is moving. Are we getting closer to the goals, or are we getting further, and what can be done to make sure that we are getting to where we need to be? So I joined other college students from around the world, and we were just drafting some releases and reading through different articles and just things that the UN was giving to us to help kind of put up data and things like that to see how good they were doing. It was a really great experience seeing other fellow students from all over the world that were just concerned with eradicating poverty. And, you know, we were there as one, trying to bring change, positive change in the whole world. So at that time, there wasn't anything about, oh, I'm from my country, I'm only looking at my country, I'm this color, so I'm only going to look out for my people. It was just so beautiful. And we all came from different economic backgrounds, different countries, I mean, different languages. It was beautiful. And this is just, this is how I envision the world. And sometimes it's just very difficult for me to see all these things that are going on. I'm very idealistic, but sometimes I have to take a step back and just realize that this is real. You know, this is real and it's happening. And something needs to be done because we cannot live like this forever. This is not what God wants. It's really not.
So, Clementine, I know you're a mother of two precious, precious, adorable boys. So you're definitely a leader, you know, in your family. But when did you realize that you were a leader? Has that just always been like who you are, or did you step into a leadership role at some point? And I mean, how did that evolve for you?
You know what? I've always been given leadership positions. Even when I was little, I don't know if you guys have, actually, I don't think they have it here in like grade school where, you know, there's a prefect in a class. I think it's more of a British thing where one student is kind of the class president and making sure that the kids, you know, the other students are not misbehaving when the teacher is not around. So I can remember since I was about five, I was just always given the role of a prefect in class and just representing my fellow classmates in different school activities and making sure that they're all well behaved. I also have parents who have always taught us that we need to be leaders and we need to think like leaders. And I remember my dad, he's always told us to do everything with conviction. Okay, so if someone gives you a leadership role, even if it's like a donkey assignment that you don't want to do it with conviction. And it's going to pay off at one point. And ever since then, I just felt like, you know what, I like being in a position where I'm not so much leading because I never thought of it as being a leader. I was just, I was serving whoever I was, you know, I was leading in a way. But I just felt like I was adding value and helping. And so, yes, a lot of people would call that leadership, but in my mind, I just felt like I was doing what I had to do to serve, be part of it. Because I grew up seeing my parents do the same thing. You know, they were serving. I grew up in a big family, and my parents would always have get-togethers. They would cook large amounts of food and invite people to come and eat. Even the poor, the rich, we would all gather together. And from there, I remember when we left the country and we were in the U.S. as refugees, people would still come to my dad and tell him stories of how he impacted them or how my mother impacted them, and they would call them leaders. And in my mind, I'm like, all they did was just cook and serve you. Why? What, you know, what is going on? You know, why are you calling them leaders? But, and this is, how I learned that being a leader, at least the best type of leadership, in my opinion, is being a servant leader, where you are not sitting there commanding people on what to do, but becoming a servant leader means that you are providing for people so that they're able to uplift themselves and also become leaders. And those leaders who also serve others. And that's what makes you a true leader.
You know, this is why we connect so strongly, because we have that same belief system in, you know, how we show up in the world. I mean, that is what we're here for.
Right.
All of us. Deborah, do you want to talk?
And another thing is, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just going to mention that. Thank you. I was also just going to mention that, you know, when you are a servant leader, you are so involved in in helping others, in uplifting others, that when you are facing some problems of your own, they become so little, right? They become so little, and you can fully give yourself to others. And I'm not saying ignore your own problems, but sometimes when you're all up in your head thinking about, oh, me, why am I a victim? Why me? Why me? It's hard for you to be a leader or to be effective in the world when your problem might not even be a big problem compared to what others have. But for me, even in my daily life, when I have something that's not going right, I try not to just sit and wallow in my feelings. I instead look for something out there, like what need do my kids have? What need does my neighbor have? How can I help them? And then, you know, by the time I'm done giving them the help they need, my problem has vanished. It's not even a problem anymore, you know?
Right. It's almost magical. But what's happening right now in the world. You know, I did a podcast the other day and somebody asked me, you know, how are you dealing with all of this? You know, because it's an uncertain time for everybody. And I said, yeah, it's an uncertain time for me as well. You know, I don't know what is happening, but what I do know is how can I be of service to others in this? It gives me some sense of control in a situation where I have no control. Is how can I help others through this very scary time that we're all going through? And that helps me, you know, get through it.
Exactly, exactly.
One of the most valuable things you said, Clementine, is that the day you were valued and given stage presence was the day you started your speaking journey, and the day you were given a voice was your opportunity to shine. And I believe that is exactly what happened to me as well. Someone pointed to me, and I believe it happened to Dawn. Someone pointed to me and said, I believe in you. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to lift you up. And I believe that not only did that start your speaking journey, but it solidified how you're going to be for the rest of your life forever. And that this servant leadership is maybe not you were born with, but sure enough, for now, it is your life. And I know that about you, and I don't even know you. So I just think it's wonderful. But I think that's probably an important piece, is when we are leaders, to lift other people into their leadership and speak those words so the person doesn't just wonder about it. They know for sure that, you know, that they have their place in the sun and that they are valued as a human being. So, I mean, this whole conversation has been kind of around that theme, right? With people who are in the streets because somebody has not valued either themselves or other people. And now there are others of us who are saying, what can we do to lift us up? It's a very interesting circle that we've been kind of playing in here.
Well, and it all really, like I say, it boils down to just the basic, recognizing one another as human, period. Because the moment we stop seeing somebody else as human and we see less of them, that's when we start coming up with ideas on, okay, he's not human just like me. He's less, so I can do whatever I want to them. I can mistreat them. You know, it's almost like an exercise that you have to give yourself in your head to dehumanize them so that you are able to do all those atrocious things to them. Because when you see somebody else as a human that bleeds just like you, it will be harder for you to go and just and kill them or abuse them or oppress them. And this has been, you know, demonstrated in history. You know, so if we're seeing our fellow neighbors here, you know, whatever color they are, and dehumanizing them and treating them like less of human, then we are more likely to go out and do bad things to them. It's very sad. And so I think that I can give you a solution, my personal solution to a lot of the things that are going on right now. You know, this the racism and the killing and things like that. I believe that education comes from home, right? The way I'm raising my two boys is the way they're going to grow up, and they're going to have a certain way of thinking because of the way I've raised them, because of the way, you know, the people that are around them have raised them and treated them. My next door neighbor, very lovely white family, they have children, same age as my children. They are going to grow up having the same ideals that their parents raised them with. They might be very different from my children, even though we are right next door to each other, right? So we know that we are raising the future leaders of this country. Now, if our future leaders are raised the right way, they are more likely to come up with legislation and laws that will cater to everyone, not just their color, not just their people, not just, you know, one segment of society. They're going to come up with laws that will cater to everyone. So how do we make sure that this is going to happen? I think as parents, especially mothers, because we spend, you know, the majority of time with our kids, I think concerned mothers that want to raise a generation competent, loving leaders should create some kind of coalition and just make it intentional that they're going to raise these kids in this way. We can find resources that celebrate humanity, diversity, that show the beauty of living together in harmony, and just start at home and maybe have different chapters in different workplaces or different communities where these parents meet and talk about how they're raising their children to be inclusive, right? I want to make sure that my next door neighbor is not going to raise kids that will end up killing my kids, right? And I'm sure no one wants to raise a murderer. Whatever color you are, nobody's is holding their kids and breastfeeding them and saying, oh, man, I just want you to be a murderer one day. No, no one wants that. But we need to be intentional. We just cannot let society raise our children. So we need to come up with, I don't know, even a small group of concerned mothers that are wanting to change the status quo. I might not see the change happening in my lifetime, but I will know that at least we are all raising a generation of kids that will be future leaders, and my grandkids will live in a better world, because now all these kids will be adults. They'll be the ones running the country, and they will have a wholesome upbringing. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
like, that's my focus right now.
I feel like that's how you've been living your life. You know, all the speaking you do, all, you know, the books that you write, the articles that you write, everything you do is in that vein already, and it always has been, about, you know, valuing everyone, you know, you valuing yourself and you valuing others. You know, that's the work that I do in Africa. You know, when people say, well, what do you do for the kids? It's like, I just go and I see them, and I want them to know that they're valued. Like, somebody sees them and cares about their existence. And, you know, you said what a difference that made in your life. I feel like that's
definitely
everybody's life. Yeah. So while we were talking, and we were talking about the 10X leadership traits, you had said your dad had taught you to, you know, when you do something, do it with conviction. And I wrote that down because I love that. And, you know, that reminds me of the number 6, I think, is the strong belief system. You know, the 10X leader has evolved into a mighty oak rooted in love. She most likely has started an international kindness revolution with the help of friends and colleagues. And that's what you have been doing. You know, that's what you lift. You lift everybody around you just by your mere presence. But how talk about like having that strong, that conviction. I mean, what you just got done saying, you could hear the passion in your voice. Like, if that's not conviction, I don't know what it is.
Well, Dawn, you know I'm a very passionate person, and I love hard, and when I believe in something and I feel deep inside that it's good for those around me, then I go hard at it and make sure it happens, because I do have that conviction that it's going to be good, and it's a good, simple thing to do. And so with just doing everything with conviction is, and I always tell my kids the same thing, like, if somebody gives you an assignment or you feel like you have a calling, you are going to go hard at it. You might sweat. You might get burned. But every time you get up and go back, do it with as much conviction as you did when you first started, because you believe in it, and it's worthy, and it's needed, and it's important. And Dawn, you know, with my work, with, you know, the refugees back home, it hasn't been very easy. You know, sometimes you feel like, I am just here to value and help you and provide you. You know, this whole process should be easy, but it's not always easy. Because there are some people out there that will just want to be greedy and things like that. And you know what? They're hurting too. They're hurting, and because of that, they do things that are not, you know, the right things to do. But, you know, sometimes I'm just like, oh, like, I can't believe, like, I am drowned. I am tired. But then I wake up again, and I'm like, you know what? This is right, and I am going to do it again. And I go back with the same force and conviction that I started with. Because deep inside, I have that conviction. I know that what I'm doing is right, and I can see that it's benefiting Eddie. So I am going to go back and do it.
And you can't let one person ruin it for all the other good that you could have done. I've had the same experience.
Because there's always going to be that. There's always going to be those people that just that ruin it. And you know what? It's okay, because those people teach us lessons. You know, they really do teach us lessons. They make us wiser. You know, we double think, you know, next time, and take our time to just, you know, discern different situations. So it's okay. Those people were meant to be in our lives, and we can still love them from afar. I just don't want to keep working with them, but it's okay.
Exactly.
It's part of life.
But we keep our own integrity every step of the way, no matter what anybody else does, you know, in our circle. We just remove ourselves from the situation and keep moving forward.
Exactly. When you know you're doing good, you just keep going.
Exactly. I want to jump in here real quick and just remind us that on the bottom of my list of 10X leaders, I wrote that 10X leaders inspire others to be their best. And if we are doing that by design and by definition, we are, in fact, lifting each other up. There is no way around it. And what's interesting about that is I was talking to someone the other day about a work situation that he had where people in leadership were giving him mixed messages, asking him to do something, and if he did it that way, they'd say, oh, I don't want it that way, I want it this way. And he said to me, why don't they understand that they don't have to dominate, they just have to lead? And I'm thinking that dominate versus lead, domination versus leadership, is one of the things that if we could impart that to our children, starting when they're 4 years old, that you do not have to dominate. You do not have to be the bully. You do not, you know, and I know, Dawn, you don't like to put everything in the negative, and I'm hearing myself do that, so we would turn it into the positive. But what I felt like after I heard him say this was like, oh my God, that's like one of the most lightning rod light bulb moments I've heard in a long time, because that's exactly what's happening, is this dominate versus lead conundrum. And we really do need to teach our children differently.
I really think a lot of these societal problems will come from us really teaching our children leadership skills at a very, very young age, and show them what it means to be a leader. And I'm saying this because I'm part of the John Maxwell team. I'm a speaker, coach, and trainer. And we have some awesome material on making choices. And this material is like a leadership series for kids. And it has about 12 different topics that students can go through, or the youth can go through and learn different ways of being a true leader. And I wish a lot of colleges and high schools and grade schools would really have a curriculum that just teaches leadership. We do not have to wait for people to graduate college and be able to give them leadership seminars. You know, that's kind of like too late. We need to start with them when they're like, my son, he reads leadership books and he's 8 years old. I buy books for him that teach him how to be a true leader. You know, I read them to my 4 year old. We need to start at a young age. Why do we have to wait for our kids to be in college or to be out in the community to start teaching them how to be a good leader? No, that's like way too late. You know, in my country, we have this saying. I'm going to try to say it in English, to interpret it in English, but it's like, if a tree is bent, right, it's too late to wait for it until it's an adult to unbend it. You know, you have to start at when the branch is still, you know, it's still soft, and start bending it to straighten it up, instead of waiting until it's too rough and too hard to straighten it. So we need to start at a very young age and teach our kids how to love, how to lead, how to value others, how to live. We need to start that at a young age. And I don't know what it's going to take to put this curriculum in schools. I know before the pandemic, I had spoken to a couple of schools and they were interested in me going in and doing these leadership trainings. But I think we really need to roll with it. I know the world has changed, but we need to figure out a way to get these leadership trainings to the youth.
Well, I'm with you. Wherever you go, I follow.
Well, I'll tell you, I am blown away. My grandchildren are 14 and 11 years old, and they are going to school, public school, and leadership, for this is just so amazing, leadership is part of their curriculum, believe it or not, even in the elementary school that they're going to. Both of my granddaughters have been given awards, as a matter of fact, for their leadership.
Amazing.
They have had this happen because I know exactly what you're talking about. And they do things like the Seven Habits, you know, the Stephen Covey Seven Habits. I mean,
yes. My son is reading that book.
Yes, and they started doing that in, you know, fourth grade, and it makes such a big difference. So what I'm going to suggest is that this loving challenge that you've got, that we call it something like calling the mothers as agents of change, and actually call the mothers
right
forward. Right? Let's do it.
Yes.
Calling the mothers as
I
agents of change.
I am all in.
Yes.
You heard it here first.
Yes, you did.
Right. It's going to sweep the nation.
Yes, and that gave me chills. The hair on my arms is standing up like crazy. So I feel like that is a calling that you and I and Dawn can be part of. I believe in it. I believe that we are the mothers of our friends and our mm-hmm. neighbors' children and people we've never met, those children. I believe I am their mothers. I am the mother of all those
That's
people.
Right.
And Dawn knows that about me. I have got a very strong mother vibe. And I was never blessed with
Amen
having my
to
own,
that.
Yeah, I was never blessed with having my own live children. But yeah. So anyway, I just know that this is the right thing to do. And it will make a big difference in the world. A big difference.
So
well,
you know what? Let's get
that.
It started.
I love it.
You got it.
All right.
Got it.
Well, why don't you give us some information about how you can be reached if you would like to do that, and talk about how people can get your book, and also any parting comments that you would like to make before we close the show, and then I'll ask Dawn to do the same, and then I'll lead us out. But this has been so fantastic, Clementine. I just think you're wonderful.
Well, thank you so much. And like I said before, this is just another validation, another way that you have given me voice, and I cannot thank you enough for this. You know, a lot of people would like to be in my right now speaking with two smart, wonderful ladies, and God has put me in your presence today. I can be reached at globalimpactaca.com. That is my website. If anyone wants to learn more about me or just Googling my name is an easy way to get more information on me and my book. My book is on Amazon and it's called Happily Broken. And I also do have some copies here that I usually send out to people who want a signed copy. And my contact information, again, if you Google my name, it will be right there, and I can just get any requests for signed copies that I will send out. With that being said, I would love for anyone who's listening to us today, number one, I thank you for taking the time out of your busy, crazy days to come and listen to us. But if you are interested in this motherhood project that we are going to begin, because I am so psyched right now. Oh, I just love my life right now. So if you are interested, please reach out to any of us, because we need as many others from around the world to join us. We are holding the keys to the future of our children. To make sure that our children grow in a society where they are valued and loved. And that is so important. We hear so many kids that are being bullied and they're killing themselves because they don't feel valued. We see so many people that are being killed because of their skin color. We see so many people that are just being oppressed because of who they are, where they were born, and this is not right. And if we raise our kids the right way and show them how valued they are and show them how their friends and just everyone they meet is of value, then we are doing society a favor. And we have so much girl power. We have women power, and we need to use it right now. If not now, then when? If not us, then who? So let's get it done, ladies. Let's do this. And thank you so much again for tuning in.
Clementine, I tell you, I am so very grateful that you were on the show today. I'm so very grateful to know you and have you in my life. I'm so grateful that you exist in this world to shine that light and share what you've learned along the way to help uplift and inspire others. And yeah, let's do this.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'll tell you, we've got our challenge, our loving challenge, calling the mothers as agents of change. We're going to use the girl power,
mm-hmm.
and we do hold the keys.
Yes.
We've got the keys. We've always had the keys. And I
right.
do believe that what I learned today is something you said in the very beginning. There are people out there who would want to be you on your worst day. And I get that. And I think that's a nice way to wake
mm-hmm.
up and say, you know what, bad as I might think I've got it right this second, I'm good. I've got this. I'm okay. And I think that we can teach our children to have that same frame when they wake up and be happy and be willing to be a servant leader and learn to do that with joy. So I think I'm going to cry. And that's not, I don't want
to
do that.
Amen
right
to that. No crying allowed.
No crying. All
I'll
right.
tell you.
All right.
My
well,
dad always told us, my dad always told us to do everything with conviction, but he did not like it when we cried.
I know. It's like, wait a minute. Wait,
he
wait,
will
I'm
disapprove.
All right. Well, we don't want that. All right. Well, I love you, girls. I love you. I love you. Love you. And I say girls with every notion that somebody will say, well, they're women. No, we're girls right now. We got girl power. And I like it.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. Girl power. Well, thank you guys so much. You have a good day.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Everyone
love
be
you.
Well.
You both.
Everyone
goodbye,
be
everyone.
Well.
Okay. Bye.
Bye now.